And let's not forget, you know, that astonishing 2011 when they had to play everything out of Christchurch, obviously because of the earthquakes. They've had a whole bunch of games up in Nelson. They even took a game to Twickenham, didn't they, from memory? They played a game against the Sharks at Twickenham. They made it all the way to the final and only lost 18-13 in the final to the Reds at Suncorp Stadium. That having travelled thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. We can bring in, courtesy of sportsfreak.co.nz, Graham Beasley. Graham, you were caught up on the news of Todd Blackadder's departure after next season. How will you remember him as Crusaders coach?
Gee, that's actually a really tough one to answer, isn't it? Because, I mean, I think overall I agree that he has been a successful coach, and you're dead right in highlighting 2011, which was an extraordinary performance, really, all that travel they had to do. But I guess in Canterbury, they might sort of have that little asterisk beside his name in that he never actually won the title.
That's it, isn't it? And I guess if there's one thing missing from his CV, Graham, it is the lack of a title. You can talk about, you know, how you make the semis every year and things like that, and how for another franchise that might be quite good. You know, for the Blues, for example, that would be a really good achievement compared to what they've achieved in the last 7 years.
And for the Hurricanes as well. I mean, over the last 7 years, the Crusaders has been and I suppose with the Chiefs, has been the most consistently successful Super Rugby franchise. And, you know, he's done well. He hasn't had a lot of cards dealt his way. You know, we've talked about 2011, the number of times that McCaw and Carter had to be rested and read because of orders from above. You know, it was a pretty tricky job from this year to work out how to manage his players with all the All Blacks, and he's got a lot of them, having to miss two games each, and how to juggle the squad there. So, yeah, I think a lot of things have gone against him. But overall, you'd have to say the Crusaders have been massively consistent over that period.
They often say, don't they, and not just in sport but in work, that you should leave a place in better shape than when you found it. A texter here has said, Todd Blackadder has left the Crusaders in a worse position than the way he was given it. Do you subscribe to that, Coops, or not?
Yeah, well, I guess, as I said at the start, the franchise had won 7 Super Rugby titles right before he took over, and he had the best crop of players. I don't agree that he's left it in a worse state. I just think he's carried on in a kind of middle-of-the-road type way. The results, you know, when you look at the championships, you know, number he's won, which is 0 compared to the championships under Robbie Deans, yes, it does look kind of worse. But I think when you look at overall the way they play on the field, the players he has nurtured, you know, that. You can't say he's left it in a too bad of a worse state. Yes, the championships haven't been there, but I think what he's done with the team, the rugby that they've continued to play, while he's been up and down, I don't think it's actually remarkably worse. There's other factors that have contributed to this, and I don't think Todd Blackadder is necessarily responsible for some of the slow performances that the Crusaders have been through.
All right, and moving forward, Graham, do you think it'll be a Cantab who takes over? That's probably a silly question.
I'd say Scott Robertson, isn't it?
Well, I guess he's got to be in the mix. What other names we've had chucked around this morning? Leon McDonald, Kieran Kane, Dave Hewitt, even Mark Hammett, I suggested.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that last one, but then I'm kind of biased coming from Wimbledon, aren't I? So, yeah, you do have to look at the Tasman performances, and that's actually a really good point. I'd overlook them because I still think of it primarily really as being a franchise driven out of Christchurch.
The other one is possibly Daryl Gibson as well. He's obviously, you know, with the Waratahs at the moment, someone who's had success coaching in the Canterbury region in the past, someone who's held in pretty high regard and has performed as a coach, so you wonder whether they might try and sound him out as well.
Just on, you know, the lack of a title, let's not forget that 2 years ago they lost to the Waratahs 33-32 with that 80th minute penalty, which many people thought Craig Joubert got wrong, don't they? So, but for that, and I know it's all about ifs and buts and maybes, he would have won a rugby title 2 years ago.
Well, he phoned McCaw afterwards, didn't he, and apologised. Well, he phoned someone. It might have been Blackadder, actually. And so, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, I don't think Blackadder had a lot of luck, it's fair to say.
Yeah. It's always time, you know, when the franchise doesn't get the results that they may have wanted for the Crusaders, it's definitely setting the sights high in championships. You do need to make some changes, and I think, you know, the general consensus from some of the Cantabs in the office here is that this change was long overdue. And I know that's harsh, but that's what they're kind of saying. They were getting frustrated that some of that historical success wasn't being repeated, and I think people had wanted change a lot before now. So, yeah, it's an interesting one.
I guess the thing you also get with a guy who's been there for a long time is that you don't necessarily have a freshness about it. You're hearing the same messages delivered in the same fashion. And if you're winning games and winning championships, that's all very well. But I guess there's the potential for perhaps players to switch off a little bit, Graham, if they're hearing the same thing said over and over again.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good timing, actually. You know, with the turnover of players, with the likes of Carter and McCaw retiring, It is going to be a new bunch of players coming through, so it probably is the right time to get a new coach in there. And also, I don't think Todd Blackadder will have too much problem getting a job in the Northern Hemisphere.
No, I think you might be right. Coops, we'll let you go because I know you're a busy man this morning, so we'll let you go. I'll just hold on to you for a second, Graham, if I could, and ask you about the pink ball test match. I know there's been a lot of talk about this, and I'm not even sure what a fresh angle is that I can use to ask you about. So I'll go with one that I mentioned this morning. It seems to me that Michael Clarke wants the players to be consulted about the future of day-night test matches. I don't think they'll get a say at all, will they?
No, well, who pays their wages? It's the broadcasters. And if Michael Clarke's complaining about something, I think that's all the more reason to have this day-night test. Just, boy, he spends a lot of time moaning, doesn't he? But I think good on them. And, you know, for me, the key stat is that they've sold over 40,000 tickets for Saturday's play. So they're not doing that wrong, really, are they? And I think the world is ready to at least experiment with it, give it a go. I'm not sure whether the technology will hold up because the Red Bulls have been struggling in this series. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. It's at a time zone that suits us better. It's something new. I think, if anything, the pink ball should help the bowlers a bit more than the red ball has done to date, and I think that's a good thing. And bring it on.
Oh, it couldn't be better for us, could it? It couldn't be better for us. You know, you look at the middle and the evening sessions. What if it starts at 4:30 to 6:30? So 10 past 7 to 10 past 9 is going to be the middle session. I mean, that's absolutely bang on perfect for watching sport at night for me. I might not last the final session with an early start, but I know you'll probably watch just about every ball of this test match, won't you?
Well, I will, yeah. I might be able to get home for the first ball if things go well. So it's fantastic. A day-night test at Perth won't help us quite so much.
No.
I mean, this is great scheduling. A day test in Perth and then day-night in Adelaide. It's just made for New Zealand viewers.
Absolutely it is. You're right about those, because you're watching day-night one day in Perth is niggly, isn't it? Because you're often up till about 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, which you can handle for an ODI because that's just a one-off. But five nights in a row, I think I'd struggle with that a little bit.
That's making it a bit tough, isn't it? Making it a bit tough. A texter here, Graham, says that the All Blacks have won two World Cups since Todd's been coaching the Crusaders. There's the trade-off. Do you think that even... I mean, that's the big thing with these Super Rugby coaches, isn't it? They're in charge of winning Super Rugby matches, aren't they? Yes, they've got to be cognizant of the All Blacks, but they've got to win games for their franchises.
Yeah, it's tough. They do, and I think that is an interesting trade-off, actually, because... you know, maybe the rules from on high to rest those players during World Cup years is a good idea, and it has worked. I mean, obviously we went overboard with it in 2007 and paid the price for that. But since then, they've had that more measured approach. And, again, unfortunately, Todd Blackadder, that bad luck, he couldn't have the final say on that, could he?
No, he couldn't at all. All right, mate. Hey, we appreciate you stepping in at short notice, Graham. We'll let you get back to whatever it was you were doing before we called you, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Super sub off the bench, just like Bowden Barrett.